It's Jim, it's the World of Bonds. It's Monday the 13th of May 2024. This is for professional investors only. Never ever investment advice. I hope you all managed to see the day of the Triffid space fireworks over the weekend. Apparently even in London, the Northern Lights were visible, but not if you're asleep in bed by 10 p.m. One of the more interesting independent economic statistics, I think, are the Citibank economic surprise indices. These are an aggregated look at all the official statistics in pretty much all regions, and then they compare the outcomes when they're released by the ONS or the BLS, wherever it may be, and compare that to what the market economists and wonks had forecast for that data. You can then normalise all the aggregate data to zero, i.e. a zero reading means that everything came in line with expectations on average. A positive score means that on aggregate data was stronger than anticipated, and a negative score means that the market was unpleasantly surprised by weak numbers. So remember, it's not measuring whether the data is weak or strong per se, it's really measuring whether the strong data comes in stronger than expected, or, you know, and so forth. So it's measuring against forecasts. So a positive reading means that we're getting generally data that's positively surprising if you're a growth bull. So how is all this data looking at the moment? Well, of course, if you look back at Q1 and you look at bond market performance, I guess, in Q1, you'd be thinking about the inflation data that we had out of the US, and you'd be worried and maybe thinking that therefore the economic surprise data would be quite robust. Actually, data surprises have become sharply negative in the United States, and they're continuing to deteriorate to the lowest level that we've seen for quite a while, since, middle of 2022. Now, this is a big change in direction for US growth surprises, economic surprises. So 2023 saw pretty much a full year of positive economic data surprises, which I guess probably explains why bonds had such a lousy year, at least until November, when we had that big rally into the year end. So the US is now disappointing. The data is coming in weaker than expected in general. What about the rest of the world? Well, if you look at developed markets in general, if you exclude the US, having had a rubbish 2023, they're negative for pretty much all of the year and sharply negative at points, in a kind of mirror image to the States. Well, nowadays, developed markets ex-UK are now positive. We have seen a little bit of a slowing of that positivity recently. But nevertheless, in contrast to the States, the rest of DM doing okay relative to expectations. And strongest of all, well, emerging market economies, where surprises have become increasingly positive for a few months now. So they're not just the strongest overall relative to that zero neutrality, but they're seeing the biggest rise in that positivity. Now, the latest bit of US data to disappoint came from the labour market again. We'd already had that weak non-farm payroll number the previous week. But every week we get the more regular weekly jobless claims numbers, which not normally market moving, but they have started to cause worries about deterioration in the US jobs market. So for the most recent week, economists had anticipated initial jobless claims, i.e. people signing on having lost their job for the first time in this employment. People, you know, it's not just a mark of whether people have lost their job, but it's also, in a really hot labour market, people don't bother going and signing on because they move instantly into another job. So it's kind of telling you two things, both the quantum of the people having lost their job and signing on, but also the fact that it might become more difficult to find a new job. So market had expected 212,000 new claims, a gradual increase, but actually saw 231,000 new claims, which is the highest for about 8 months or so. Friday also saw a big fall in US consumer sentiment. That index put together by the University of Michigan, regarded as the kind of bellwether for that measure. And perhaps we are seeing a change in the overall sentiment around the US economy, and maybe that can be summarised by a Commerzbank German investment bank report, which described the recent numbers as, quote, horror reports. That may be hyperbole, but nevertheless, the weakness is materialising. Okay, other things to quickly note this morning. Well, over in Japan, the Bank of Japan cut its JGB QE, effectively its Rinban JGB buying volumes, by a little over 10% from April's run rate. Yields are up as a result, so 10-year JGB yields are up 2 or 3 basis points, and 2-year yields are now at their highest level since 2009, albeit only at 33 basis points. Remember, if you're looking for some support for the Japanese yen, you're probably going to have to see 2-year yields and US 2-year yields. US 2 years have been up at 5% recently, now at 4.5%, and you're going to need to see some convergence there. So it is happening, but to be honest, from the JGB end, it's not going to move at anything like the speed that the US has the potential to move at in terms of compressing. In the UK last week, no rate cuts, of course, from the Bank of England. None was expected. But Dave Ramsden, the Deputy Governor, did shift his vote into the cutting camp. He's now one of the two in the 7-2 vote calling for a rate cut. June still looks likely, i.e. next month, with 6 25 basis point cuts expected by this time next year. We did get a strong Q1 GDP number from the UK, though. So that's in contrast to the last 6 months of 2023, when we were in a mild recession in the UK. So that recession looks convincingly over. The preliminary GDP data for that first quarter suggested that the economy rebounded to grow at a 0.6% quarter-on-quarter pace. Barclays, the investment bank, now forecasting full year 2024 at 0.8% year-on-year growth for the UK and 1% year-on-year growth for 2025. So still really quite anemic, but out of recession there. Right, with the economic data in the US deteriorating, you'd obviously expect that risk assets rallied last week. Well, they did. Remember, we are in a Alice in Wonderland kind of world where bad is good. So bad economic data actually means that the Fed is going to cut more quickly, which is going to be good for risky assets. This is the kind of famous Fed put that now persists all markets at all times. The idea that we kind of socialize gains, privatize losses. You know, there is no way that central banks would allow risky stuff to fall, because that would cause systemic problems and economic problems. So therefore, on bad economic data, you buy more risky stuff because the central banks will ride to the rescue. So last week, the S&P was up 1.7%, now up around about 4% since that non-farm payroll report. This week, a big week for the inflation side of things. We've got PPI, the producer prices indices in the US, but then most importantly, the CPI number in the middle of this week. So mind how you go. Have good weeks. Bye.